And so this morning, y'all, we're going to continue in our preaching series, I'm About That Life. And in particular, that life that we're talking about, it's the life in Christ. For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of me. That life that we're talking about, it's living in the here, in the now, in the flesh, but it's following God by faith. So last week we spoke from the subject, can you handle the truth? And if we're going to be the kind of people that are about the Christ life, then listen, we need to be able to accept correction. We need to be able to accept correction when we're going in the wrong direction. It was the great apostle, the leader in the church, Paul, who had to correct the great apostle and leader in the church, Peter. That I don't care how big you think you may be, who you are in the church, what titles you carry. All of us need correction at some point. All of us need to be held accountable at some point in our lives. Peter was guilty of hypocrisy. The Bible says in Galatians, listen, that he was over there eating with the Gentiles, having a good time with them, y'all. And all of a sudden, the Jews showed up in town. Peter was a Jew. And so he does the electric slide like he's new. I really don't know them anymore. But the truth stands for all of us. You may not be guilty of hypocrisy, but it may be something else. But whatever it is, God has placed someone in your life to hold you accountable and to correct you when you're wrong. So turn with me in your Bibles, y'all, to 1 Peter chapter 1. As we look at verses 13 through 14, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It's Peter speaking. He says, "So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I," God speaking, "that he's holy." I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there a hole in your holiness? You may be seated in the presence of God. Is there a hole in your holiness? Somebody once said that life is like it's a contradiction. That in my soul, in my spirit, I yearn to be holy. But in my flesh, it seems like I'm always running from holiness and everything that it means to attain being holy. Being holy means being a Christian. Being a Christian means Christ won. Being a Christian means being like Jesus Christ. And part of growing into our likeness of Christ is growing, y'all, in holiness. So let me ask you on the real. Let me talk to somebody on this side of the church. Do you think of yourself as being holy? I mean, for real, though. You know, people may say something about us, listen, that we are holy rollers. And some people use that expression, holier than thou, which those are the folk that they think they're all of that in a bag of chips. They got their thinking wrong. But do you see yourself as being holy? Do you really yearn for holiness? If I look at you and I say, you are the holy man of God, does that make you nervous? Do we really long to be holy? So in our text for today, the Apostle Peter encourages suffering Jewish Christians that they're driven from their homeland in Jerusalem, that they're suffering from the government, the Roman government, politically from fellow Jews, that they're suffering and they're driven out of their homeland and they're struggling with their faith. But Peter writes first to say, listen, we thank God for the great salvation that he's given us through his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that great salvation, that God's people ought to practice a lifestyle of holiness. That our response to what Jesus has done for us ought to be a lifestyle of holiness, to reverence and trust and honesty and loving God and loving one another, trying to be more like Jesus. But I'll tell you something, maybe it's just my own experience, that being faithful to God in the midst of the trials and the problems and the struggle with the faith, with my flesh, it makes it difficult sometimes to be a holy person, to be what God calls us to be. Know this though, holiness is God's standard and it's our goal. Yes. Holiness has always been God's standard. That God is holy, Jesus is holy, the Spirit, he's called the Holy Spirit, he's holy, heaven is holy, angels are holy. When Moses stepped before God, God told, listen, I'm right here. You're walking on holy ground. Holiness has always been God's way. It's his standard, y'all, but it has to be our goal in life. So the question is, how do I become holy when most of the time I feel like I'm fighting with my flesh? When I'm fighting with the world and the world system and everything that's around me? And so this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage our hearts that God has called us to holiness, to help us to understand what it really means to be holy, to live a life that pleases God. And so how can we work on this hole that some of us may feel like sometimes? Listen, there's a hole in my holiness. And so the first thing I want us to understand is simply this. God calls us to be holy. Do y'all agree with that this morning? Am I by myself? Be holy in everything you do. God chose you to be holy because he is holy. This wouldn't have been the first time that these Jewish folk would have heard this. It was in their spiritual DNA. It's what God called them to from the beginning. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19, and God is speaking to Moses. And God says to Moses, Moses, give the people of Israel this instruction, be holy because I am holy. Look at Leviticus 19 and he begins to spell out what it really looks like. That you're to have respect for your mother and your father. That you're to love other people, you're to love God, you're to love other people. Don't follow after idols. That you're to treat your family members right. And I encourage you to go to Leviticus 19. It says a whole lot of stuff, y'all, that applies to us today as it relates to what it looks like to be holy. God calls us to be holy. Y'all, that's a tall order, though. Yet Scripture is still clear about it. God calls us to holiness. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for preachers or ministers. It's not just for church leaders. But it's for everybody that's under the sound of my voice. If you are a child of God, if you have been born again, he called you and me to be holy. Yes. All right. Let me ask you again. Do you feel like you're a holy person today? God's will, y'all, is for us to be sanctified. Yes. Talk a little bit about the word sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. God's will is for us to be sanctified. That's God's will for your life and for my life. The word sanctified comes from the same word, y'all, as holiness. It means to be consecrated. It means to be set apart. It means to be different and different from the rest of the world. That's why we read in Galatians 2:20 where Paul is speaking, listen, we are crucified. We've died, y'all. We've been crucified with Christ. And the life that we now live, we live it differently than the rest of the world. We live in the flesh, but we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Hebrews 12:14 says this, without holiness, y'all, listen to this, no one will see God. Take a minute and swallow. Without holiness, none of us can see God because he's holy. What does a holy person look like? Does he look like the person with a big chain around his or her neck, you know? They're dressed in the garb from head to toe in white, nothing in showing. And is that what a holy person looks like? I think about Job in the Bible. That some of us know the story of Job, and some of us may not. And so Job was the angel appears before, the devil appears before God one day. And somehow Job's name comes up. And the devil says basically the only reason that Job is following you is because you're blessing him. Remove your hand from him and he'll curse you. He'll curse the day that he died. And so God put Job to the test. He allowed the devil to do what he was going to do. Job lost everything, y'all. He lost his material possessions. He lost his family. You know, he lost his reputation as a godly man. But this is what I love in the text when we read Job chapter 1, that there's a man from the land of Uz. That he was blameless, he was upright, that he feared God, he turned from evil. Job was holy.
That's right.
But here's the thing. I found out this, because you can be holy and you can live right and you can love God and you can come to church all the time, you can pay your tithes, you can do the right thing, you can treat people right, you can love people. It does not exempt your life from pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes some of us say, well, what's the use in trying then? What's the use of me trying to be good and do good, but good's not coming my way? But make no mistake about it, God is holy, and he calls you and me to be holy. So if we're no different than the rest of the world, and we're called to tell the world about Jesus, then what good does it do if we're no different? If we slipping and dipping and tripping and doing the same things, looking just like the world, then our mouths are filled with the same words that the world uses. Then how do we draw the world to Jesus? That's what God was saying to Israel. I called you to be holy. I called you to be different than the rest of the world around you. God chose Israel as his own people to come unto him to be his people so they could be a light. They could be a beacon of light in the world so people could see. And they'd be, well, who is that God that they serve? I think one of the problems with the church today, we're trying to be too much like the world. We're trying to be hip and cool. You know, I look at us today and listen, and mother, I remember back in the day, when the women they wore stockings, and when they they cover their assets. That, you know, the dress was not to be too tight. Everything in its proper place. I remember when, guys, you couldn't just come up in the church with your pants hanging down here. But I think sometimes we forget that were they doing that just to do that? No, they were saying that, listen, we're to be different. That we don't walk around with our pants hanging down. That you don't walk around with your dress all up here. You're trying to be different because you're trying to draw them to Jesus. Now, do I believe that perhaps the church went a bridge too far? We went a little bit too far? Because what people saw, the church began to say, that's what holiness is. No, it's just what we do to be distinct and different. But holiness is something different. And I want to talk about that for just a minute, y'all. But I want us to know this. Listen, think about this. So in an operating room, you know that the doctors make sure everything is sterilized, everything is purified, everything is cleansed. Because before they start operating on their patient, and I think all of us can attest to it, before they start operating on you, you want to make sure nothing is contaminated. That there's no infection in the room. And so the doctors, you know, they get on those things, they push the little pump with the sink with their feet, and they wash their hands, and they scrub, and they scrub, and they scrub, and they scrub to make sure that their hands are clean and purified. They put on their gloves. The technicians make sure all the instruments are purified. They're not contaminated. They're clean. So when they begin to cut, nothing becomes contaminated. Yeah. If doctors are so concerned about contamination, how much more is our Heavenly Father concerned that we're not contaminated, that we're not purified, because we are God's instruments that he uses for the rest of the world to know that he is God and that his son is our Savior. And that's why sometimes God will use the purifying of his holy word to cut us so that any contamination on the inside of us is removed from us, that his word is sharp and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting to the soul and to the spirit, to the joint and to the marrow. Sometimes God has got to cut you because God is trying to clean you and to make you pure and to make you holy as he's holy. So God calls us to be holy. I praise God. Like I said from the beginning, this would not be probably a shouting month. But I believe God is calling us back to what's right and what's true. That we're to be about the life of God, about the life of Christ. And a big part of this life, it's about being holiness. But know this, holiness is not what you may think it is. What holiness is and what it's not is what we want to talk about for a minute. It's not about acting strange, y'all. Holiness is not about being weird. You know, walk around that glazed stare like you you're deep in all of that. It's not about talking in those sermonic tones. I need a cheeseburger, and fries, and give me a shake on the side. That voice, you know, that's not holiness. It's not acting strange or weird. Y'all, as a church, when we start acting strange and weird, and people that don't know the Lord come in the house, guess what they're gonna think? We strange and weird. It's about being different, though. And let me say this. Especially, I want some young people to hear me. Because I know peer pressure is on. And being like, you know, my home girl or my home boy, fitting in with the crowd, it makes a lot of sense to me. But when you follow a life in Christ, people are going to think you're strange. That's right. That's right. Because you're not being like the world. You're not doing the things that they do. That doesn't mean that you can't have a good time and enjoy life. I believe a life in Christ is one of the best lives you could ever live. But as long as we are in Christ, as long as we're striving for holiness, I have to say this, the world's going to think that you and I are strange. Holiness is not separated from practical living. We can't be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Now, understand it in proper context when we say that little saying we say. That's not a scripture. That's a saying we say. That we shouldn't be so holier than thou, that we are of no use to people in this world. That when Peter speaks to the believers of that day, they're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. They kind of stopped everything else. Listen, I'm putting everything else on hold. I'm just waiting for Jesus to return. I ain't trying to serve nobody. I ain't trying to do nothing. I'm just waiting on Jesus. And there are some people like that today. I'm just waiting on Jesus. I'm not serving. I'm not doing anything in the church. I'm just going to be right here, and I'm just going to wait on Jesus. You know how a lot of factions and false groups start, you know? When they huddle up and they're worried, we just waiting on Jesus. It's just us four and no more. And then false doctrine seeps in some kind of way. And then you have Branch Davidian and stuff like that. Listen, we are called to live out a practical holiness in our lifestyle. that we're to worship and to serve God. We're to love one another. You know, Colossians 3, 1 through 2 said that since we're raised with Christ, set our minds on things that are above and not things that are below. Yes, our minds are to be set on, focused on the things of Christ. But with our life, we are to live it in a practical way, serving God, serving one another. And I just believe this. Listen, when our minds are focused on God, when our minds are focused on the things of heaven and not necessarily material things and things on this earth, listen, that's when God can really use us because we're not, that stuff just doesn't matter. What matters is serving him and following him and focusing on him as we serve other people in this world. Holiness is not what you may think it is. Holiness is not achieved through self-will or self-determination. Lord, help us today. It's not just a matter, y'all, of breaking bad habits in our lives. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, let me see if I can get this habit, this behavior gone out of my life. And so we pray three times. We spin around and it's gone. But by our nature, y'all, by our sin nature, guess what we are? We're sinners. We're saved by the grace of God. Yeah, we're saved, but listen, we still struggle with the flesh. And so on our best day, as saved as we are, as sanctified as we are, as filled with the Holy Spirit as we are, we still struggle with this thing called sin. It's not about cleaning up our act, y'all. It's about cleaning up the heart. And that's what God wants to do through holiness, to clean up our hearts, to make us more like him. Some of us live, y'all, like a hamster on the hamster wheel. You know how the hamster is in the habitat, you know, in their home, and they can see through the glass. And they see something in the distance. They jump on the wheel, and they're trying to get to it. And they're just running and running and running and running. 10 more minutes, they're running and running and running, and they get absolutely nowhere. Because they're on the hamster wheel. And a lot of us can live our lives just like that. We want to be right. We want to be whole. We want to be holy. But there's a hole in our holiness, and we jump on the wheel of life. I'm trying to get my attitude right. I'm trying to get my behavior right. I'm trying to stop doing this. I'm trying to stop doing that. 1 year later, 2 years, 5 years, and we're still doing the same stuff. It's because we're using the wrong method. The only way to free the hamster from the hamster cage is for someone greater than the hamster to go into the hamster cage and pick it up and lift it out and free it from the hamster cage. That's what God did for us, y'all, that God is bigger than us. God is stronger than us. And we depend on God to lift us up out of the cage and to make us right and to make us righteous and to make us holy.
Thank you, Lord.
So we need someone bigger than us. We need someone stronger than us. That we have this big problem. The problem's called sin. And I'm in trouble as long as I'm trying to overcome this sin and this flesh by myself. And so, last question as we close out, then how do we really get there? I already told you. The answer is in the answer. Holiness comes through Christ. Peter says, think clearly. Exercise self-control. Think about what God has done for us. Think about how he saved us. And now exercise self-discipline and self-control in how you live. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. The same Jesus that saves us is the same Jesus that keeps us by his Holy Spirit. Holiness comes through Christ. It is the only way. It's the only way. There is no other way. Christ died to make you and me holy. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Christ loved the church. That's us, y'all. And he gave his life for us to make us holy and clean. He washed us by cleansing us with his word. That he died for you and me to not only to save us. We often say he died to forgive us of our sins. But make no mistake about it, Jesus died to make you and me holy. Consecrated and separate, different from the rest of the world. Forgiveness happens right away. Understand that. That when you give your life to Jesus, you are forgiven in that very moment. But from that moment on, he still wants to, I go back to that word, sanctify you. First, we are justified. I'm using some big theology words. Justification simply means just as if it never happened. That he wipes your slate clean. You are justified. You are as saved as you will ever be. But we're walking this thing out, y'all. Every day we're walking out this process of sanctification. We're becoming more like Jesus day by day, or at least we ought to want to be. I need you to be honest with yourself this morning. I need you to be honest with God and ask yourself, am I about that life? Am I really about this life of holiness, trying to be distinct and different from the rest of the world, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to do it because I can't do it without him? Or being honest with yourself, are you saying, listen, I'm good over here. I'm living out the life over here. I'm living sanctified and different, but I like this over here. And God, I know you understand. You understand my proclivities. You understand my issues and my stuff. And sometimes if we're not careful, I think we're thinking God's going to give us a pass.
Yeah.
God, this is me. You know, I like it this way. Don't bother me with this, God. You know me. But God, I serve you over here. And sometimes, y'all, we try to serve God so hard over here. God, serve with everything we got. But God is saying, listen, but what about this over here? This is what I want to talk about. This is the issue I want to deal with right now. And we won't deal with that issue. God, help us today. We want to be holy. We ought to want to be holy. And this, y'all, is where spiritual discipline and hard work comes in. This is where prayer comes in, the word comes in, fellowship comes in, serving comes in, sharing our faith comes in. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But it's God working in you and me to do his will and his good pleasure. As we're walking this thing out, y'all, as we're working this thing out, listen, it's good news. God is working in you and me by the power of his Holy Spirit. As we ask God to change us, we spend time with him, we can see the changes come. Yes, it takes effort. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to be holy. Make every effort to be holy. Strive to be holy. Struggle, work to be holy. Only Christ can save us and change our heart. That it's a work, it's a work of grace. That we cannot save ourselves. And the reality is we cannot walk out a life in Christ all by ourselves. We depend on him. We depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And change is a lifelong process. The sanctification thing, y'all, it's a lifelong process. But don't judge my process. And I won't judge yours. Listen, all of us are trying to walk this thing out. It's easy sometimes to point our fingers at other people and tell them what you need to do with, what you ought to do with, what you should do is this. But I'm on my journey and you're on yours. How can I help you with your journey? How can you help me with mine? Let's just love one another. Help each other with our journeys. Now, when we have to correct each other, we have to hold each other accountable. We have to do what we have to do. But don't judge somebody else's process, y'all. We're all going through process. And listen, if you're here today and you say, "Man, I feel this sermon, Pastor. Sometimes I feel like I got a hole in my holiness. I feel like I'm walking through life with a big old paper bag and there's a hole in the bottom. My holiness is just running out everywhere. I'm trying to do the best I can, but it seems like my best is just not good enough. I want to say to you today, don't be discouraged. The word says that God started a good work in you and he'll complete it against the day of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you, what God started in you, God will finish it. He will finish it. He'll do it. God started a good work in you and me and God will complete it. Philippians 1:6. Yeah, you know the main road that leads to my house, y'all, it's been under construction for a minute. It's been under construction for a long time. It seems like a lifetime to me. And you know, I don't know what it's going to look like on our way home today. There may be a detour sign. You know, stuff is, the roads are all torn up, y'all. Stuff is just everywhere. They dig in holes. They're trying to put pipes in the ground. Dust and debris is flying everywhere. You hate to go to the car wash because you go to the car wash, you go down this little stretch of road. By the time you get home, dust is all over your car again. Road signs are everywhere under construction. But I realize that one day that construction will be complete. Watch out now, watch out. And the roads will be better. What I'm trying to say to you and to me right now is that God wants us to be holy. And you're looking at your life right now, and sometimes it looks like it may be tore up. It may look like debris and dirt is flying everywhere. It may look like you have to take a detour over here, a detour over there. But the good news is one day God's going to complete the work in you and me. And one day we're going to be just like he is. That's what John said. It had not yet appeared what we shall be. But one day I'm going to be just like Jesus. Until then, keep working on your hope. Keep working on whatever it is in your life. Keep striving for holiness. Keep trying to be like God. And one day he's going to make it all. He's going to make it all right. Here's what I found. Here's what I found. Hold up one minute. You're going to try to make me preach. Hold on. I found out. Life, trying to live a life for God is a whole lot like a donut, y'all. That's my analogy. Yeah, we like us some donuts, don't we now? Okay, yeah, it's got to be about some food. You know, I got to put some food in here somewhere. I got to put some in somewhere. But y'all, but for real though, that nice donut, got that glaze on it, all sweet and nice. As delicious as it may be, as sweet as it might be, as good as it might be, there's a hole in the middle. There's something's missing. There's something simply not there. As we go through this life, listen, in your walk with God, it may be sweet, it may be good, it may be just right. You may have some of the frosting and glaze on your life. Everything is going well. But we cannot deny that every once in a while we look at our life and it looks like there's a hole right there in the middle. That there's something that's missing in my life. Something that's missing in your life. But here's one thing I discovered about the Word of God. That God will fill up the hole. His Savior will fill up the hole. When we trust him, when we depend upon him, he will always fill up the hole. He'll always make it right. So what do I want y'all to do? In the meantime, keep working on the hole. Keep working on the middle. Keep working on what's not there. Keep striving and struggling for perfection, for holiness, and for righteousness. And know that one day, y'all, this will all be over and we will be just like him. Anybody know that today? One day I'm going to be just like him. I'm trying to walk like him and talk like him right now. But one day I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to be holy and perfect in all of my ways. But until then, y'all, I'm going to keep on working on the hole. Because sometimes I feel like there's a hole in my holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Pray with me right now. Father, thank you for your word today. The challenge of your word, that we make no mistake about it, you called us to be holy. You command us to be holy. And the good news is you do not command or demand from us what you have not given us the power to do. God, you are holy and perfect in all of your ways. You call us to be holy and to be mature. Help us, oh God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be the kind of people that you want us to be, that you called us to be. If there's any area in my life, any area in our lives that don't represent you well, in this very moment, may we denounce it, get rid of it. Because we're so glad about the salvation, this great salvation that you've given us, that our hearts desire to be more like Jesus, to be Christ-like, to walk like you, to talk like you, to be like you, to be holy. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hallelujah. So, So how do we respond to a message like this? That he wants you and me to be holy. How do we respond? I think the first thing we need to do is confess. If you know that there's an area in your life, in my life, where I'm not representing Christ well. Now I don't want us to miss something. Being saved is not about works. It's not about what you do. But since we have this great salvation, we understand it, we know that we have it, then we ought to live out a life that pleases God in holiness. So we confess. God, I didn't get this right. I'm jacked up over here. I need some help, God. And after we confess it to God, then it's time to repent. That we can't confess to God and keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's like the parent saying to the child, I heard you, but I'm just not going to do that. Did you hear what I said? How many of us growing up would look at our parents in the face and say, I heard what you said, but I'm just not going to do that. You want all of your teeth. But how many of us day after day, we look to God in the face and say, God, I heard you, but I'm not doing that. The Lord wants what's best for you and for me. He's gracious and loving and kind. And he gives us grace. He gives us time. But all you have is right here and right now today. And so perhaps you need to repent today. Confess it and then repent. And after you do that, listen, commit your way to the Lord. Say, from this day forward, yeah, I got it wrong yesterday, but from this day forward, listen, I'm glad about Jesus, and I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to do it the way God wants. Does it mean that we won't still fail and fall sometimes? Yes, we will. And God gives us grace for that. But at the end of the day, God says this to you. He says it to me. Be holy, because I, the Lord God, I'm holy. Pray with me. Again, Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for the challenge that our hearts desire us to be about that life. And that life is a life in Christ. As we walk, as we live in the flesh, we walk it out and live it out by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us. He forgave us of our sins, saved us from eternal death. But at the same time, when he died, we put our faith in him. It was also to live out a life where we look more like him, to be Christ-like and to walk in holiness, to be distinct and to be different from this world. Help us individually and as a church, oh God, to see this, to see it in our homes, that our homes should be different than the homes of other people in this world who operate according to this world system, that our lives personally should be different than the rest of this world, that we're to be separate and apart, because we cannot draw them if we look just like them. And so we confess, we repent, and we commit our lives to you today. And Father, for that person that may not know you and the pardon of their sins, pray, oh God, that you speak to that heart right now. Your word says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, which comes through Jesus Christ. And your word says if we would but confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts, Father, that you raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. And so we turn from our sins, we turn to you, we turn to your son Jesus, we depend upon him, we trust him as the Lord of our lives and the Savior of our lives. Speak now, Holy Spirit, to hearts right now, those that are here, those that may be listening in today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is right here and right now. Speak, O God, and for all of us, by your power, help us to be holy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.